This is KRCU's Going Public. I'm Train Lintner. During the Sykeston Rodeo 2 weeks ago, three men were detained by Immigration and Customs Enforcement, according to a news release from ICE itself. The wife of one of the men detained stated her husband was being held in the St. Genevieve Detention Center with a court hearing scheduled for August 24th. Today we speak with Susie Johnson, president of the St. Genevieve chapter of Abide in Love, a group that supports those that are detained and their families. We speak about the work their group does and what this instance could mean for the region. Our station spoke with you last year about the in-custody death of a detainee in the St. Genevieve Detention Center, but to recap, could you briefly explain what your chapter and what your organization does?
Sure. So the St. Genevieve affiliate of Abide in Love works with not only local families, but also with people who are detained at the St. Genevieve County Detention Center. When we started a little over a year ago, we had maybe around 100 detainees. Right now, we have averaged about 170. At one point, we were up to about 200 detainees in the local detention center. So we have about 20 volunteers. We call them pen pals, and they correspond with the detainees in the jail. Everybody is assigned a volunteer pen pal upon arrival or within 24 hours of arrival. And our volunteers really just sort of check in with them and make sure that they have been able to contact their family to let them know where they are. And we offer some other supports as well. But it's mostly just so that detainees in the jail know that there's somebody in the immediate area who does care about them and is willing to help if they can.
From your position, how have you seen things change over the past year in regards to ICE presence and action in the surrounding region?
The way people are getting picked up remains fairly the same. A lot of folks are getting picked up on traffic stops. So something like a failure to completely stop or a taillight out or no seatbelt, things that if you and I got pulled over for that, nothing would happen except either a warning or a ticket that you'd just pay a fine. But these folks are actually having ICE called and being taken into custody and taken away from their families. I know recently there was ICE presence down at the rodeo in Sykeston, and that resulted in a few detainments. So we do see things like that as well, but mostly it's traffic stops and people being detained at their places of employment or on their way to work. So that has not really changed, but what we are seeing more of is mothers detained, pregnant mothers, breastfeeding mothers. It's been really heart-wrenching to see these women separated from their children and sometimes newborns. We weren't seeing a whole lot of that in the beginning. We're also seeing both parents detained at the same time. So we may have a husband and a wife both in the same detention center or separate detention centers. So we really are assisting with trying to make sure that they can at least make some arrangements for their children. We've been doing more and more documents that provide legal protection, such as power of attorney, not just financial, but also for the children, and making sure that the children can get passports if they were born in the U.S. and authorization to travel with a trusted person so that the family can be reunited if the parents are eventually removed from the country.
Now, after that incident at the Sykeston Rodeo, there's been community responses, including a pop-up protest at the Scott County Jail and a GoFundMe to help with the travel and legal fees of one of the detainees. From your experience, what are the most effective and safest methods of community response for when someone is detained by ICE?
I think that the response from the local community is definitely pretty typical when a beloved member of the community is detained. You see people want to take action. There are a lot of things people can do before it gets to that point, such as talking to their local county councils, city councils, county sheriffs. The agencies that have 287G agreements with ICE tend to be the ones who cooperate much more. And if people feel strongly about their local police acting in step with ICE and having access to a lot of the resources ICE has, that's something that they should talk to their local elected officials about before a contract is signed. We've also seen some success by congressional representatives who have been granted access to folks who are detained and to their information. The detained person generally needs to sign a waiver before ICE will speak with the representative's office, but we have seen some congressional advocacy assist in getting people released.
And with the hearing of Ricardo Gonzalez-Montes coming up on the 24th, what sort of information do the courts typically look for to consider when coming to the decision of deportation?
So I can't really talk about his case specifically, mm-hmm. But I can say that a judge will generally look at the time a person has been in this country and their family ties, if they have family members who are dependent upon them. You know, a lot of folks have children who were born here, and so we make sure that they know they should bring that up. Also looks at if they have a prior order of removal and just their general history. Unfortunately, we're seeing a lot of people who had TPS status or were asylum seekers, and removal proceedings are just starting right in the middle of those legal processes due to the current administration's policies.
And if people wish to find more information about what your organization does, where can they look?
So they can go visit us on the web. We're also on Facebook and Instagram. Our website is abideinlovesg.org or just Google Abide in Love St. Genevieve. There are affiliates throughout Missouri and also Ohio and Oklahoma. So if folks are maybe in another area and hearing this, they can just Google Abide in Love. And if they get to the original Abide in Love, it'll show a list of all the affiliates. They can find the one closest to them.
All right. Well, thank you for speaking with me today.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You've been listening to KRCU's Going Public, where we've been speaking with Susie Johnson, president of the St. Genevieve chapter of Abide in Love. From KRCU Public Radio, I'm Trane Lintner.